Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals snapped a three-game skid with their win last night over the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll talk more about what was impressive about that 3-2 win in particular after What's Trending. But tonight, the Royals back at it again as they continue the four-game series against Toronto. Alec Marsh on the bump, 6:40 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's on deck show at 5:30, and Vern's going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes or so. We'll get his perspective, and sounds like the sock change was the key, you know?
High socks. It didn't change much. Our socks went up. I was always a high socks wearer for baseball. Big
look.
Fan.
It's a good look.
Way better than like the pajama pants CC Sabathia look. Let's just be honest. Next up on What's Trending, Amon-Ron St. Brown get a new deal. 4 years, $120 million to stay with the Detroit Lions, $77 million of which will be guaranteed. Setting a new standard, obviously, for wide receivers. That's right on pace with some of the other guys where they're getting paid. Tyreek Hill was getting around that figure, $30 million a year. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and other CeeDee Lamb still up. The Bengals did make a small move on Ja'Marr Chase. They exercised his fifth-year option today.
Oh, wow.
That way they have the exclusive rights to work on a contract extension. By the way, that's the most no-brainer fifth-year option ever.
Next up on What's Trending, something that should have happened a long time ago, and I was happy when I was driving in today, and I heard Bob and Josh mention it as well, and that is that Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back.
Oh, okay.
It's about time. We all know the reinstatement basically has to do with, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape, according to the Heisman Trust. Remember, he forfeited his trophy in 2010, NCAA sanctions, which included Bush receiving improper benefits, like, what was it, like an escalator or whatever, I think, and
yeah,
maybe
that's what it was.
A home and or a something house, like that, which obviously at the time was an NCAA violation. But the reason why he was a Heisman Trophy winner was because of his on-field accomplishments.
Not because he was driving an Escalade
to
practice?
Not because he was driving an Escalade. Mm. You want to punish the university for it? Sure. But I'm glad that cooler heads have prevailed in this whole thing. And Reggie Bush took the high road in his statement as well, saying, quote, "Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners, be part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, honored to return to the Heisman family. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization." So he took the high road. I actually give Johnny Manziel some credit for making this happen. He was on a podcast and in some comments recently basically mentioned how absurd it is, like we all have said.
Sure.
But this is one of the things, like, about time. Good for Reggie Bush to get that Heisman Trophy.
We'll get into a little more detail here coming up in just a minute. But yeah, it's not surprising that eventually they finally made the right call. Next up on What's Trending, the Steelers will not pick up the fifth-year option on Justin Fields, according to reports. This is probably not surprising based on the reporting earlier this week that the Steelers are smitten with their boy Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Justin Fields became an afterthought for them. He was available for cheap, so they took a shot. But they're already kind of, I think, envisioning what their life and their house and, you know, the two kids and a dog is going to look like with Russell Wilson, not with Justin Fields. look, they'll have him in and they'll see what they got out of him, but I'm not surprised to find out they're not going to pick up a fifth-year option to be very pricey for Fields.
NBA postseason continues. Last night saw a couple results. The Timberwolves go up 2-0 on the Suns. The series between the Pacers and Bucks now level at one apiece. Finally had a road team win a game. Now it was the Pacers 125-108 win over Milwaukee. The Mavericks get a 96-93 win over the Clippers. That series evened up at a game apiece. Tonight, two games going on. You got the Heat and Celtics, where Boston leads that one 1-0, and the Oklahoma City Thunder already up 1-0 on the Pelicans. That's the late game tonight around 9:30 or so. NBA postseason. And last night it was kind of cool. I tuned in Pacers Bucks. It wasn't a great game, but Gus Johnson was doing some NBA games. It's been a while. That was cool.
Yeah, it has been.
Give me more of the cross-platform voices, if we will.
He's a college basketball guy. Why can't he call an NBA game? He just does it with a little gusto. Pun not intended, but it worked out that way. Next, lastly on What's Trending, don't forget, tomorrow night, we will be at the Landing in Liberty for our draft party, where you have a chance to win $610 and some autographed Chiefs memorabilia if you can just predict who will get taken in the first round. Very simple. Go to 610sports.com. You can print up a form and fill it out now, or you can go to the Landing before the draft tomorrow and hand it in person. All you have to do is predict who is going in the first round. So list off 32 players who will be drafted in the first round. Guess which team they'll go to. You'll get points for each player you guess correctly and points for aligning those with the correct teams. Person with the most points at the end will win the $610 and some autographed Chiefs memorabilia.
I think I'm going to fill my sheet out tonight. We can't win the prize, but I think tonight's the night where I'll sit down and actually fill this thing out.
I'll probably fill mine out 5 minutes before tomorrow.
There you go.
What did you say you were going to do? You were going to take a mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah and just copy it?
Yeah, bingo. That's my
The only tricky part
is my official mock.
With you aren't selecting, hey, who's going sixth. You're selecting what team they're going to. So it's a little bit different than the actual mock draft. Like, if the Chiefs end up trading out of the first round, like, you might have been, you have to decide in your back of your mind if you are still factoring in trades, though, right? If the team's not picking.
Yeah.
Like, because if you think the Chiefs are trading out of the first round, you're not going to select the player and mark the Chiefs. There might be a team you actually have taking three guys in the first round or two guys in the first round, because if you think the Chiefs are trading out, you'd lose a point if you actually have the Chiefs next to a player name and they end up trading out. So there's a couple different strategies for the draft and for our contest. Looking forward to seeing everybody as well. Someone says, I know this show doesn't do much hockey. You guys should mention a save last night. Top five save of all time from Brodowski.
It was pretty great.
Stanley Cup playoffs are underway as well. That's true.
We had an NHL team here. I mean, I know we mentioned the NBA, but I mean, there's a popularity discrepancy between the two, but it was an incredible save if you didn't see it. I still don't understand how he did it. Now, that's the tough one. You know, if you don't watch enough hockey, you watch something and they'll be like, this is incredible. I'm like, was it? That is not one of those ones that you have to wonder on. I'll just tell you. If you watch it, you'd be like, yeah, that's incredible. That's one of the most impressive saves of all time.
Yeah, that was in the Florida Panthers-Tampa Bay Lightning game, and Florida's been one of the best teams all year. The Carolina Hurricanes as well have been two of the better teams as well. Keeping an eye on that. I'm not actually sure what the odds were to win the series or anything like that, but I don't claim to be a hockey guy. I asked our boss, Speck, for advice. He told me to bet on Edmonton, so I have. I've been betting on Edmonton.
Is it working?
They won game one.
Okay, you've been winning.
That works.
They have maybe the best player in hockey.
I saw them. I saw them play the Golden Knights in person. We were there for the Super Bowl week, and so I'll just stick
You're
with that.
You're an expert then.
I'm clearly an expert on Edmonton now. Yes, that's simple. I saw them. The one hockey game I've been to, one NHL game I've been to in person, was Edmonton and the Golden Knights. So I'm clearly an expert on both. Yeah, and Vegas upset in game one Dallas. So,
That's your squad.
The Golden Knights.
Comes to Kansas City. Are you willing to abandon your Golden Knights?
Of course.
Fandom?
Yeah, in 2 seconds.
Immediately. What do I care?
Yeah, if Kansas City got a hockey team, an NHL team, yeah. Of course.
I'm just asking. I didn't know if you were willing
to. Drew, would you abandon your NBA, your favorite NBA team, if Kansas City got one?
He only kind of likes the Pacers.
Every day. Okay, because I think so far this week you've worn an Alabama shirt, a North Dakota State shirt, or North Dakota shirt, and I think we know the Missouri shirt last week, Wisconsin.
I have a K-State shirt on underneath this hoodie right now.
Oh, there you go. So he's back on K-State.
The one school he's never worn gear for
KU.
Is KU. I find that to be interesting.
I don't have anything KU.
He's
related.
Chosen to go anti-KU, which some people on listening right now love that. I get it.
They get enough KU with you.
I used to have a KU Raglan t-shirt when I was younger, but I don't have that anymore, obviously.
All right. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk some baseball with Vern, but we're going to talk some baseball ourselves a little bit because last night was important for obvious reasons. One, you stopped the three-game skid, but we've mentioned like in the past, you're worried about that thing becoming 4, 5, 6, 7.
And it was 4-5 already.
Mm-hmm. And so you needed to stop that. And it's not even like you got just a dominant starting pitching outing. You got an okay outing, but you didn't get 5 innings out of your starting pitcher yesterday. You didn't get, 8 runs. It wasn't like the offense just backed them up. You got 3 runs. Your starting pitcher didn't even give you 5, and you found a way to win against a good team in Toronto. And how do you do that? I thought it was defense more than anything else, man. I thought the defense was sensational.
Stretch. They held a run because of a diving play. They're just a really good defensive team. Maybe the best in baseball. I mean, I think you can make the argument. Some of the metrics would suggest that is the case. I just like wins that you're not supposed to get. And especially when you're in the middle of a slump. Over on Twitch earlier today, I think it was T-Nulty, had pointed out a tweet from Randy Giserly, was talking about how rare that win in particular was. Starting pitcher didn't go 5 innings. Starting pitcher allowed 12 base runners. Like, Walker was doing battle out there, right? He was in and out of the strike zone. He was walking guys. He had runners the whole night. The Royals only scored 3 runs, and they won. The last time a team did that where all 4 of those things took place, 1949. So, I mean, it's just not that common to win a baseball game in that fashion. Defense is why they won it. I just don't care. That was one of those games that I didn't care how you got the one. I don't care that your offense was quiet for 5 innings. The only reason you got those runs was because Vladimir Guerrero made a mistake. They screwed up. Correa threw the legs, right? Oh, no. And you took advantage. Good teams will find ways to win even when they weren't the better team that night. The better starting pitcher was on the other side. The better offense was on the other side. The more consistent team in the first 2 games of that series have easily been the Blue Jays. It's 1-1. You won that game just on, like, I don't care, grit if you wanted to. But you won it, and it was important to keep those losing streaks from getting out of hand, especially early, man. Just especially a 4-game losing streak in July does not feel the same as a 4-game losing streak in April when this team has been consistently this flawed this early on in the year.
You're trying to make sure that you actually complete the month of April the way everybody started to get excited.
A little bad.
You don't want to finish it on a sour note and ruin the type of start you got off to. Make sure you still have a winning month of April, which is what you are in line to still be able to do, especially after you stop the 3-game skid that you were on. But if you're going to get that kind of defense, and I think you probably laid it out correctly, just that in the past, the Royals one would be the team that maybe opened the door, made the mistake, and other good teams would pounce.
Pile on.
But it's nice to see, we've seen a couple examples of why this team is different. You know, it's not that you're saying they're going to go to the postseason, but why are they different? Why is this team much, much improved? There's been so many signs. I thought last night was another sign of why this team is just different. If you continue to need more and more reassurance, basically, as a Royals fan, why you should buy in. I thought last night was just add that to the long list. There's probably been 5, 6, 7 different instances already in this first 24 games or whatever of the season of why you should buy in. I think last night was another.
It was my favorite win of the entire year. Like, and I get it. There's been some ones where they really scored a lot of runs, man, and piled on and all those things. And they almost got to come from behind one on Saturday and tried to make a fight. But that's just not a game last night I think they're supposed to win. I'll be honest. Most of the time, they're not supposed to win it. Walker was in massive trouble, and you were relying on more than 5 innings of shutout baseball from your bullpen. And you still had to scrap across some runs, fought for every single one. Your closer had to go 2 innings.
Yeah, have a MacArthur six outs.
He's been great.
That to me is another example, though, of when we've talked about Matt Quatrero and the job he has done. And, always a debate, like, how much does a manager play a role in the actual wins and loss on a daily basis, right? And there are some instances where obviously it matters more than others, and it's magnified if you're in the postseason and all that. But they clearly had the plan going into last night's game, right? That MacArthur was gonna get the 8th and 9th inning. Like, that was pretty evident. And the plan works, so that always makes the manager look better when it actually works. But still, I love the way they're utilizing the bullpen right now. I know there's some worries with Will Smith and everything, but I love the way that Matt Quatrero is going about utilizing the bullpen and specific guys and willing to have at times even a quick hook if need be. Remember, it wasn't long ago he had a quick hook on MacArthur, and then he just gets six outs last night. So I like what they got going on in terms of how they're utilizing the bullpen. And last night was a good example of that. And tonight they're back at it. Alec Marsh, your fifth starter, has been really good this year for a fifth starter. We'll see if they can't get a quality outing. It'd be nice after starting pitching has averaged out a little bit the last five or six games. But you see what Alec Marsh can bring to the table, and maybe the bats can get going a little bit more as well.
I did look it up because Salvador Perez's are also nuts. But I went ahead and ran the numbers last night. It's always fun. Like, all right, we're almost 25 games into the season. What? We get to do the quarter poll conversations at 40 games.
We're not even at quarter.
So we're not even quite there. Bobby Wood Jr.'s current pace. First, he's hitting .316 with a .362 average, .582 slugging and .944 OPS. I want to remind people he plays shortstop. Look up other shortstops at his age and how hard it is to put up these numbers. People earlier were telling me they were disappointed. His current pace is 27 home runs and 34 stolen bases, which would be below his 30-30 season last year. But he's also on pace for 54 doubles, 20 triples, which has only happened four times in Major League Baseball history, and 40 walks to go with, which is a little low, at least on that end. He is a ridiculous freak of a talent. Like, if you were worried, oh, no, and look, I don't think with baseball players it didn't happen that often, like, oh, what's it going to happen once he gets paid? It's fine. He's fine. They've just got, the difference between this one, and I go back to like 2021 or other teams that I've bought into. Dude, I was all in on the 2003 Royals. Go back and legitimately look at that roster and tell many how many ended up being decent major league players. David Jesus, right? Like, there's a few who ended up being decent major league players. Good 10, 12-year pros. They have real star power. Salvador Perez could be a Hall of Famer one day. Bobby Wood Jr. could be a Hall of Famer one day. Vinny Basquintino is one of the 20, I think he's one of the 20 or 30 best hitters in the sport from a consistency standpoint. They have rare power in MJ Melendez. Again, this is where my confidence stems from is, there is a lot more talent on this team than other teams I have tried to buy myself into. Still has to come together. They still have to put it all together. But there's a lot more talent on this team.
Yeah, and in the division, they're going to get a chance this weekend. And they got a couple more here against Toronto. But this weekend against Detroit, who they're tied with in second place, it's so early. But it could end up being a big series against Detroit this weekend. And if we fast forward in September, you might look back at this upcoming weekend series against Detroit and say, man, I wish you could have got two of three, whatever. You know, it sounds silly.
I'd take two out of three right now if you'll give it to
me. It sounds silly, but it is actually a pretty good, important series coming up this weekend against the Tigers. We'll talk more about that with Vern, our Royals insider, here in about 10 minutes or so. Get his perspective on not only last night's game, but bigger picture and what the rest of the year could look like for somebody like Bobby Wood Jr., as you mentioned earlier, is now second best odds to be the MVP in the American League. A lot of long ways to go, but he's behind Juan Soto right now. Matt Cotrero is the favorite to be the AL manager of the year, just in front of the manager of the Detroit Tigers, AJ Hinch, who is doing a nice job as well. And these are the type of, when you go from a 56-win team to now a team that looks like they're not only going to be better, but maybe they could have one of the bigger turnarounds in baseball in a while, and do what the Orioles did 2 years ago, I guess it was. You know, you're going to be up for some awards as a manager, and usually it takes a special season from a couple players, and Bobby Wood Jr. is pacing like it could be a very, very special season.
Someone says from the 816, hey, the Royals play tomorrow at 110. Can Vinny make it out to the landing?
No, they got a road trip.
Yeah, they got a flat.
They got to head to Detroit for the draft, you know?
Yeah, Vinny has actually been making an argument. He was doing, I think, High Heat show over on MLB Network. He has requested, if they're interested, he'd like to make a pick for the Jets. He'll be in Detroit for the draft. They have day games both of those days, so he'll be available at night to be around the draft. He's just saying, like, hey, if you don't mind, I'd be more than willing to make a pick for the Jets. Let him, Jets. Let Vinny make a pick. He's one of your biggest fans. He stood behind you last year.
I think they sent him a jersey.
To the tune of crown seats. Yeah. Even when Zach Wilson was going to make a start against the Chiefs. That's how much he believes in his squad.
Yeah, I think we need to, by the way, select that date.
Yeah, you're probably right. Got to hit up our guy Vinny and figure out which
date for that. Maybe it's the 2014 team reunion weekend, where they got like the Herrera bobblehead on a Friday night, Wade Davis bobblehead on the Saturday, and then I think the Holland bobblehead on the Sunday.
Trying to get people out for all three games. I can't.
Smart.
That is smart.
I saw some, not to get too off topic, about that spreading out. On MLB at bat, you can watch all the different games. And so, so you watch all these other broadcasts, and then with that, they're promoting their own promotions. I can't remember what city was doing it, and I don't know if the Royals would ever do it, but, you know, normally we hear like, hey, it's, you know, this Tuesday night or whatever, it's first 20,000 or first 10,000 get blank, you know, a t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
And so what a couple teams have started doing, I don't know if it's working, they'll find out, they can look it up, but they're spreading it out. So let's say you're giving out 20,000 bobbleheads. Instead of doing it all on one night, they're doing, all right, first, you know, 8,000 or 5,000 on Tuesday gets the bobblehead, and then another 5,000 on Wednesday. Now, some people might hate that, but from a team perspective, trying to get more people in, they're spreading out. Like, so one of the most popular bobbleheads, whatever one you think that is going to be this year, maybe it is the Wade Davis bobblehead on Saturday.
Maybe it's the Vinny Pasquantino Pasquatch one later in the year.
Instead of doing it all on one night, they're saying, all right, we're going to spread that out across 3 days, and it's the first. We'll still have 20,000 or 30,000 bobbleheads, but we're doing it over 3 nights, so more people have a chance to get it. Your hope is that more people go across multiple nights,
and you might get the person who wants to sell them on eBay to come to multiple games.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it works, but I just thought that was interesting.
Again, I own two bobbleheads currently. One is the Bobby Wood. Oh no, three now. Hmm. Someone gave me a Bobby Wood Jr. one from AA Arkansas. I have the Bobby Wood Jr. one from Opening Day, and I have Rusty Koontz.
Yeah, we might have a couple in the year, at least one or two in the
garage sale.
Garage sale, which is, we're going to do that again. It's coming up in June. We'll have more details as we get much closer. But yeah, we will do another Cody Engel garage sale coming up. And we'll make Drew donate a few things too.
I've got some stuff
college
already.
Gear, it turns out.
College
when,
gear.
Before we take a break and get to Josh Vernier, I did want to say a little something on the Reggie Bush. I briefly thought, man, it'd be funny to be the only person in all of sports to be like, you know what, screw Reggie Bush, he broke the rules, never should get that Heisman back. But like, let's be realistic here. Him getting improper benefits had nothing to do with the fact that he was the most electric player in college football for years.
Mm-hmm.
He did unforeseen things on a football field at that time. I don't really care that he drove an Escalade. I don't know. The part that kills me still is, did they really need to, like, have NIL come around and all that stuff to convince you he deserved his trophy back? You shouldn't have taken it from him in the first place. What was the point? On ethics? We stand on grounds now? Do we have to go through the personal lives of every Heisman Trophy winner of all time just to prove it? No, it just seems kind of silly. It's a football accomplishment. I think awards should be football accomplishments, and we should just leave the rest out of it.
Yeah, I think you made a good point, though, about Johnny Manziel, is that without Johnny Manziel, because I think Reggie Bush has said it, but I think he's kind of just given up on it, where Johnny Manziel reiterated multiple times, he needs his trophy back, and it's not just Reggie saying it. The fact that it was another Heisman Trophy winner saying it, I think, helped.
And talk about if you'd, like, went into their personal life and be like, he had a trouble, and like, there was plenty of things going on in Johnny Manziel's life. It doesn't matter what was going on in his life. Was he a great football player when he played on the field?
And if you're an 18-year-old kid, are you going to take an Escalade? Are you going to take a car? Yes.
Someone says Billy Preston had a shake. I'm bringing back to KU.
Yeah.
Does Billy Preston have any eligibility left?
I'm not sure his situation anymore. I'm glad that, and it's long overdue, that Reggie Bush got his Heisman. I do think the NIL landscape made it easier for those in the Heisman Trust to get over whatever feelings they had about the whole situation. It's the right move, and as you said, it was an on-field accomplishment situation. Glad it happened, and it's, by the way, it's smart for the high. You should want somebody like Reggie Bush, who is as electric of a player as he was, also went on to have a pretty damn good NFL career too. Someone that had that kind of success, that notoriety, you know, was on television for many years as well. Like, you want that person attached to your organization, to your group. You don't want that person to have negative feelings and have other people have negative feelings towards your group because of how you treated that person. Like, I just think it's a no-brainer. It's a smart thing. Glad that Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. Coming up next, we get back to the Royals. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, you'll hear his on-deck show tonight at 5:30. We'll ask him about last night's win and what is his biggest concern maybe still moving forward the rest of the month.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the random question of the day here in about 15 minutes or so. We'll also get to some of the wide receiver news of the day. Again, Amon-Ra St. Brown landing a massive four-year, $120 million extension with the Detroit Lions, making him the highest paid wide receiver in football. Also in the last, 60 seconds or so, Ravens signing wide receiver Rashad Bateman to a contract extension that keeps him there through the 2026 season. That one is only interesting because there was some speculation in the last 24 hours that maybe the Ravens would trade him on draft night. Obviously, that's not happening. They just extended him through the 2026 season. So we'll get back to the draft in just a little bit. But let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Of course, tonight, his on-deck show at 5:30 gets you set for the Royals and Blue Jays, game three of this four-game series. Are you going High Sox now, too? It seems like it's the thing to do out at the K.
When I'm at home, I'm always High Sox because I've now reached that age of New Balance and High Sox. But no.
Those are popular.
No. When I was younger, yeah. No, I was old school stirrups. Yeah, I love all of that. So I was all about it. But I also loved Matt Quatrero's response to Bob and Josh's line of questioning this morning about, you know, the superstition. And, you know, I just find Q so very interesting. I think he's a unique figure for as much as everybody in the sport. And I mean, everybody in the sport preaches taking it pitch by pitch and day by day and game by game. A lot of people say it. It's very hard to live it. And Q is the personification of one day at a time, one game at a time, one pitch as a pitch at a time. That's why when they bring up the High Sox to him earlier this morning, he says, you know, yeah, that's cute and all, but if we think our underwear or socks are the reason why we're winning and losing, we got issues.
Right. Well, so to that point, though, about living in like the present a little bit, you know, even last night in the bullpen decision, like, do you agree that in the past, maybe, and this isn't just with past Royals managers, but maybe just in all of baseball, where sometimes you're so worried about, oh, we can't overuse this guy or a bullpen because we're worried about what's going to happen on Friday in this upcoming series versus they use MacArthur for six outs last night. Like, go win Here's the game win. Tonight.
Without question. Now, we hadn't seen MacArthur in almost a week, so the dude was fully rested. The coaching staff had been prepared, even in the Baltimore series, to use MacArthur for multiple innings. But to your point, doesn't this fall in line with everything this organization has done since December? The aggressive week in free agency, the aggression in spring training as far as Reagans, you're our guy. Marsh, you get the ball over Jordan Lyles in the rotation. You know, the aggressiveness as far as the trade acquisitions dating back to last season, being one of the first teams to make a move in acquiring Cole Reagans. The aggression with Bobby Witt Jr., making sure you get that done. The coaching staff has done it as well. Look at how they've utilized that bench. You know, they're pretty consistent. When it comes to that bottom third of the lineup, we're going to mix and match late in the game. So this just continues to fall in line with what has become a very proactive instead of reactive, a very aggressive organization in a market where you must be aggressive, right? For years, it was, all right, let's just be patient. We believe in our guys and just give us some time. That's not what we're seeing. For about a calendar year now, and it's certainly embraced by me, sounds like you guys as well, and hopefully the fan base too.
Vern, was that the biggest win of the season for them? I went back and I'm like, boy, they lose that game 99 times out of 100 over the last 7 or 8 years. It's not a game you're supposed to win, but like the door got opened a little in the fifth and they kicked it in. Like other teams haven't done that as much since like the contending teams of 10 years ago. I felt like that was the most satisfying win of the year for me.
Yeah, satisfying. I like that. I can get with that. The biggest to me, because they've only played 24 games, to me the biggest is still number three. Brady Singer making sure that you don't lose three games in a
sure.
row early on in the season. But, yeah, last night was one of those games that's going to allow this team to maintain through May. Last night was one of those 50-50 games. What's exciting about this team and what should bring people to the ballpark is the knowledge that this starting rotation is going to give you a chance to win more often than not. So far this season, I think they've given you a chance to win in 23 of the first 24 games, but 80% of the time, 4 out of every 5 games, I think you're going to be in it in the 5th, 6th, and 7th innings. And of those 4 games that you're in it, you're probably going to run away with one of them, lose a heartbreaker in another, and then have 2 jump balls where someone's going to have to go take the victory. And that's exactly what happened last night. Yeah, Vladdy opened the door, but Isbell hustling down the line. Adam Frazier staying in a rundown to make sure Michael Massey gets in scoring position. Mikel Garcia with the single up the middle, and then Bobby Witt Jr. putting the cape on and driving in 2. And then the bullpen. You know, the bullpen took it. So last night was one of those jump balls, and the Royals dove on the floor. The Royals were the tougher team. The Royals are the ones that went out there and took it. And yet, to go back to the point about Matt Quatrero being where your feet are and pitch by pitch, you got to do it again tonight and then tomorrow. And then you're going to face Tarek Skubal and a pretty good Detroit Tigers team and then this Jays team again and then a 500 team and the defending champion Rangers and then a first place team in the Milwaukee Brewers. So, look, it's still pretty choppy in the deep end. You're going to have to win a lot of games the way you did last night.
What about Salvador Perez? I always ask about him because I think his importance on – he's this version of James Shields, right? I think it was JJ who said with us on Tuesday, nobody enjoys winning baseball games more than Salvador Perez. How the hell is he still doing this at 34 years old at catcher, Vern? Like, I mean, that's just rarefied air in its own right.
Right, but how long have we had a Hall of Fame discussion about Salvador Perez? This is why. To do what he's done at the catching position – for the past decade is what has started the Hall of Fame conversation. And if it's going to continue, he needs to maintain this. Nobody's more aware of that than Salvador Perez. We've talked about it. Now, team goals are obviously number one. He's out there to win and bring Kansas City another championship. But, when we were marveling at him last July, when it's 105 degrees, the team's a billion games below 500, and he's smiling, grinding, hustling, bringing the type of enthusiasm that a captain would, that's when it's, I can't believe what he's doing out there. The year before, 97 losses, and he's concussed, and he can only see out of one eye, and his knee hurts, and yet he continues to show up, and he continues to produce, and he continues to have a good attitude. That, to me, was amazing to watch. You guys, summer games, at afternoon games at August at Kauffman Stadium, when he could easily knock on the door and say, Skip, give me a day today. He doesn't do that. He fights when his name isn't in the lineup. No, he's a marvel. He's one of the, 3 greatest catchers of the last 20 years, right? It's him, it's Yadi, it's Buster Posey. 3 guys that right now, I think Posey's going to end up there. Yadi's certainly going to end up there. And if Salvi can put together another 3-4 seasons of catching and run into another 40-some home runs to reach 300? Yeah, and then if he can top it off with a run to the postseason, I don't think there's any doubt about it that he'll find himself in Cooperstown.
Vern, do you have a solution with umpires in baseball other than, hey, let's go ahead and get that robot strike zone up here pretty quick after what happened, happens every day, I guess, in baseball, and then seeing the other day Aaron Boone getting tossed from a game because the didn't hear a fan. The video to go along with it was phenomenal, but it just speaks to the power trip a lot of these umps are on, man.
Yeah. Well, that's ego. Yeah. What can you do about ego and the lack of self-awareness? It's everywhere in society. So you move on from that. But to me, the solution is to adopt the challenge system that you see in the minor leagues. To me, that is beautiful. It's a lot like what you see in tennis, where, well, the way it works is each team has three challenges. If the pitcher immediately disagrees with the call, he taps his hat and they go to the big board, and just like they do in tennis, they immediately show the pitch, the strike, and whether or not it's in or out of the zone, and that's the decision. If a hitter doesn't like a call, he can tap his helmet, and same thing happens. You get three a game, so you have to be cautious in your eagerness to use them. I think that's the solution, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it implemented certainly within the next 5 years.
Last one for me, Vern, on the starting rotation, going back to them. What are your thoughts on the rotation now that they're not pitching against the White Sox? Like, I think there's an argument to be made that, like, look, we got a little carried away, not just because they were having success early on, but the White Sox are getting shut out of, like, 50% of their games. There was obviously a little bit of juice out of the starting rotation based off that.
Yeah, Cole Reagans has stood his own against Pablo Lopez, twice against Corbin Burnes.
For sure.
And we'll see what he does coming up tomorrow against Jose Berríos, but he's held it down in that role. If Brady Singer's your four, this was a guy that some were wondering, can he be an ace just a year and a half ago? So I still like the makeup of this rotation. Again, and all I've really wanted from them is a chance to win more times than not. Give me the type of stability that we haven't seen, and this is something that I thought they were going to bring, the type of stability that we haven't seen since 2016. And, if they can remain top half of the league, I think they're going to, deliver the type of innings and give these young hitters the chance to experience, June and July, a June and July in Kansas City like we haven't had since 2016 and 2017. And that's all we really wanted was let them taste what it can be like to play meaningful games in the summer and hopefully into the fall. And if you're doing that with the additional playoff spots now, who knows what can happen. If they can stay healthy, there's no reason for me to believe that this rotation won't give that, especially with the defense and the team speed, that it won't give those young hitters a chance to thrive in a much bigger stage.
All right, Vern, we'll be listening tonight. I got to craft together a little winner for
let's go.
For a bet tonight on
you
the pregame show.
You need to keep up because Cody and Drew are on a heater.
I know it.
Man, oh
I think
man.
They're
I can't lose a bet.
Like three for three or four for four out of the gate or something like that.
A combined six for six, and they're up like 8 or 9 units. It's terrific.
Yeah, I got it. I got to come up with something tonight. No pressure. All right, Vern, appreciate it. We'll be listening to his on-deck show tonight, and then Royals baseball, 6:40 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. Yeah,
I don't know what Drew and I can't miss.
Yeah, hot right now.
You shouldn't have just said that because tomorrow
that also is true.
Back to the jinx.
Because tomorrow I'm gonna give mine, and the pressure is gonna be on me because I'll be the most recent one.
I think I got to go back to square one. No parlay tonight. Just go back to something standard.
The last one, I just took a bet. I just took the under 9.5.
Yeah, I got
no mystery.
Get some momentum going here. It'd be fun to take an 11-1 parlay or something. Nope. Not when we're
you could get 11-1. You could just get Michael Garcia and a homer.
Tonight. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Mm. I'm not going to do that for my bet though. Not when we need to get going. No, we need to get the momentum going on Vern's on deck show.
You're trying to get people some money.
That's right. So
the good news is for some reason you end up like spec and you're like 0-11. At least people can just bet the other side of you.
Yeah, just fade.
The worst thing you can be is like 3-3, minus 0.5 units. Then we're just kind of like then we're just treading water. If you're just like wrong on every pick, we get to go the other way.
And fair, this is only my third time on Vern's on deck show this year. So this will be the third bet handed out.
Are you 0-2?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes. I went with a 9-1 parlay last time. I don't even remember the first game of the year what the bet was, but the last one was a parlay, and I can't remember what one leg Denhan. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, but that's tonight, Royals baseball. What we asked him about though with the strike zone stuff, the challenge system. We've brought up the minor league challenge system. I think that's great. I know someone said, they need like 50 challenges. They'll give each team three. That's fair. Mistakes are going to happen, but let them have three challenges and the ability to right away make the change on the fly. I mean, it happens in so about quick. 20 seconds in the minors.
It's nice. I don't know why we can't employ that. I also just think you could do it standardized across the board, but if you just want to implement a challenge system, fine. The only issue is only three per game really means you can't challenge a single strike until the sixth, unless it's like an RBI situation, right? It's got to be an RBI situation with multiple runners on to end an inning or something. Other than that, you really do kind of have to save them for a little bit later, which makes a challenge. Why we were talking to Vern, the Chicago Bears are holding a press conference.
They are.
And very similar to the one that was held in Kansas City multiple times over the last year, where they're unveiling their plans for a brand new $2.6 billion stadium plan down by the lake. They want half of that from the public, $1.3 billion, according to some reports.
I thought that was the case, too. I had to correct myself as well.
Oh, is it less?
It's more. So it's a four.
Oh, it's more.
It's a four, which makes more sense.
Oh, they want $2.6 billion.
Correct. So it's a $4.6 billion project.
And they want $2.5 from.
There you go.
Billion from the city. $2.5 billion
It's a lakefront, brand new lakefront stadium. They're trying to get the Super Bowl and all that there in Chicago. That's their problem they have to worry about there. But it is interesting to see.
That's five times the amount the Royals were asking for.
Right. And now that's the football stadium. I mean, just be honest, if the Chiefs end up asking for a new stadium at some point, whether it's from Kansas or in Missouri, that stadium's going to be at least $3 billion. I can promise you it's going to at least be a $3 billion project.
But are they
going to
ask $1.5 billion of that from the people?
Mm-hmm.
From Kansas, they might. They might.
It'll still be public money, but in Kansas, they don't have to get a vote.
Look, the whole thing goes
down.
They don't
need a vote in Kansas.
Because I think people say this like it's a gotcha moment, and it's not a gotcha moment. They're like, you know, in 20 years, they're going to be asking more money from us to renovate the new downtown baseball stadium. And I'm like, yeah, like, it's not a gotcha moment. Yeah. I understand that stadium costs are ongoing forever. Yeah. I know what I'm getting myself into in that scenario, but yeah, $2.6 billion, asking $2.5 billion from the city is a lot.
That's in Chicago. I will point out, as I saw from
it's way bigger city. Yeah.
Someone that obviously is familiar with Kansas City and used to host on this station, Danny Parkins, was tweeting about this. And I guess at the beginning of the press conference, they held a prayer and prayed for the stadium and for a Super Bowl and wins. And just how awkward.
You kidding me?
We got to get the audio.
I have to have that. Held a prayer for wins?
Drew, I'm going to send you the link on Twitter to your DMs.
Oh,
and
my God.
If we can get the audio. I haven't heard the audio. I'm just referencing what I saw on a tweet. But that's it sure looks like there's a prayer going on before their stadium unveil.
Like, isn't it currently a high holiday for the Jewish faith this week?
Passover is going on.
Could you imagine if your Passover dinner tomorrow night or Friday, whenever you guys are having it?
Yeah.
That if you guys held a prayer for Royals wins, hey, can we all just take a second, hold hands?
It's not even that, Cody. It's the fact that the organization, while announcing a $4.6 billion project in Chicago, is having people pray before.
Yeah, that is the weird part of this.
It's just the setting and the timing. You're unveiling a Super Bowl, a stadium you hope will bring you a Super Bowl, and you're praying for more wins and for the Super Bowl at the team press conference.
Dear God. Do you think we could get a Super Bowl in Chicago? I've been a really good boy this year. Now I'm somehow mixing it up between Santa Claus and God, but you get the point. I don't understand how you hold a prayer at the beginning of this
simple
thing, praying for the Super Bowl to come to your city.
It's as simple as, Lord, we haven't won anything at Soldier Field. Please allow this new stadium to bring us
I got to hear the audio.
Some positive.
Before I completely bury it, because I want to completely bury it.
Please have the public give us
as soon as you get the audio, Drew, please let us know, because I got to hear it.
That's the thing that just kills it. It's right before they announced the stadium. Like,
yeah, we'll let you get the audio. I just DM'd you the link.
Okay.
And how about that? I'll get a random question of the day while Drew gets that audio.
Random question.
For you, Gold, we'll let Drew off the hook for now over the text line 913-586-7610. And of course, over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Earlier today, we were having a conversation about the Outer Banks TV show. I've decided to incorporate that into the random question today. So, in addition to talking to that and the National Treasure movie, the question I have for you today is, what is the best treasure hunting movie of all time, in your opinion? And I want you to think about this for a minute, because there's some you're just straight up not considering. Okay. Because the entire Indiana Jones franchise, of which I know you don't like, Gold, is on the list. Maybe you like the new Uncharted movie, or The Goonies, which is a classic. Can I put up a sleeper pick on this before I hear some other people's answers? From 93. How about Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That is technically them seeking buried treasure. I know it doesn't come off as a normal treasure hunting movie, but it's one of the better movies of all time, and they are treasure hunting in it. Does that count? The Goonies definitely counts. They're searching for, you know, piles of gold. Or maybe you were a big Pirates of the Caribbean guy. Were you a pirate
actually,
guy?
So I did. How many? They've had like five or six of those movies.
Yeah,
now.
Sure.
The first two, just literally the Pirates of the Caribbean, and then there was like the Black Pearl, right? Wasn't that the other
one?
Those I was all in. Yeah, I enjoyed those. But you're right. I don't like Indiana Jones, the National Treasure stuff. Just not my.
So you're
style.
Just not a treasure hunting guy?
Not usually.
Over on Twitch, someone's mentioning Without a Paddle. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, I still think counts. Somebody mentioning that as well. Without a Paddle, I haven't seen that in a million years. Do you even remember that movie?
I don't know if I...
I think it's like got
I
Dak...
What's his name? I got to look at the
I think you saw the cover art, it would stand out. It's got like Seth Green and a couple of other... Maybe Matthew Lillard. It's I can't quite remember the cast.
I don't know if I've seen that, actually. When did it come out?
Someone said Muppet Treasure Island, which is objectively a good movie.
Yeah.
So I can't even argue that. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The Rundown says, not the GOAT, but top 10. That's the one with The Rock from the early, early days of The Rock when he's out in the jungle. That's just a good entertaining movie. Like, treasure hunting movies are a lot like action movies. Very few of them that I'm like, wow, that was a truly great movie versus I'm just looking for some easy entertainment. That's all.
Oh, okay, so what was the question while I was
What is the best treasure hunting movie? We were talking about National Treasure and it got me on this instead.
I think it's
people mentioning Fool's Gold and Blue.
I love the National Treasure movies. It's not even a Nicolas Cage thing. It's just I like those movies a lot. So I think that's the easy pick.
I had not even thought about that.
Yeah, Goonies is an all-time classic, so I get that's why that's an answer. Goonies
why wouldn't that be a classic? What about The Mummy? He's seeking treasure in that. Have you gone back and watched the Brendan Fraser Mummy?
No.
Entertaining stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Go back and watch it. Honestly, it's a pretty entertaining movie.
Oh,
again, not an Academy Award winner. I'm not going to like send you
the answer.
Tearful for the answers, but it's solid. Super entertaining.
Text line reminded me, and it might just be admittedly because at the time it was Angelina Jolie, but Tomb Raider.
I mean, loved that game.
Angelina Jolie.
I never saw the movie.
Really?
I played that game like on PS1 or whatever during that entire time. Someone says, does Blood Diamond count? He's not really seeking treasure. He's just trying to run with it. Does that count?
I think it fits the criteria.
It's close.
It fits the criteria.
I mean, it's not out of the question. It's close. Multiple people mentioning The Da Vinci Code. Have you ever seen the movie Congo? I've decided that if I ever go on Carrington's podcast, he does the movie podcast where it's under
does
six
he still
and a half.
Do that?
I don't know. But if he still does
it. I think they were planning on bringing it back.
Congo's got an absolutely ludicrous premise. They're in the middle, obviously, they're in the middle of the Congo, and they're searching for this like underground diamond mine. And then upon looking for this treasure, they discover a race of like super blue gorillas that are like super intelligent and all like jacked up on steroids. Look, it is not a good movie, but listen to that premise and tell me that you're at least not interested in watching a scene from it. And then the crystals they find in the cave they're using in, like, laser weapons. I'm not making any of this up. That's how the movie Congo goes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, see, the last time now people are just texting in, like, more heist type stuff.
Yeah, heist is different, like, I think, than treasure hunting.
Yeah, it is. Someone's gone in 60 seconds. Oh, I love that movie, but that's not that's a heist, more of a heist movie than a treasure hunting.
Yeah, I think heist is different than... Like, robbing a bank, that's not a treasure. They're not looking for treasure.
Heist.
They're just robbing
something. It's a heist movie.
That's a different conversation. I'm talking specifically treasure related.
Whenever there's a movie about Chiefsaholic, that will not be a treasure hunting movie. That'll be a heist movie or a comedy series. I still think there should be a comedy series made about it.
I really appreciate the people mentioning Congo. It's just such a ridiculous movie. I actually feel like we should watch that. Like, we should watch that as a show, because it's so ridiculous.
All right, up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about how the AFC West could draft. Andrew has the audio of the stadium announcement going on in Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.